I would like to talk to you for a few moments from the subject, prayer is our weapon. Will you use it? Prayer is our weapon. Will you use it? Ephesians chapters 4 through 6 are all about spiritual warfare. The language of this understanding of spiritual warfare is filled with binding and loosing and rebuking evil spirits. That is the sum total of what some people refer to as spiritual warfare. So when they are saying that they're going to do some spiritual warfare, what they mean is that they're going off to pray. Chapter 4, 5, and 6 is just that, spiritual warfare. It concerns our whole lives as Christians. This is the scope of our warfare. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, living in unity and cooperation in the local church. Ephesians 4, verse 17 through chapter 5, verse 21, living a life of holiness and purity. Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through chapter 6, verse 4, is how we live with our family. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, how we conduct ourselves in our workplace. This is all spiritual warfare. And when it comes to Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20, the famous passage on the armor of the believer, it speaks of how we ought to stand array in every part and arena of living of our lives. It's all spiritual warfare, and the armor never comes off. But having said all of that, please understand that prayer is vital in our warfare as Christian soldiers. With prayer, we buckle on our armor. It must undergird our whole fight. If we think we've put on the armor of God, but we're not praying, then we're kidding ourselves. We are leaving our defenses down. Your relationship with God, your spiritual walk, your Christian experience will never rise higher than your prayer life. Prayer is of the utmost urgency for every believer. Paul comes to the end of his list of Christian soldiers' armor, and he writes in verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Do you realize how important communications are in any battle? If an enemy can cut off a battalion's communication, they become immediately isolated, helpless, and alone. Now, for the Christian, prayer is our line of communication with our commander in chief. God knows our situation better than we do. And he knows the enemy's position as well. But God moves in response to prayer. If the enemy can deter us or distract us from praying, then he has us where he wants us. We quickly become isolated, helpless, and alone with only our own resources. God does not intend for us to fight with our own resources. They are of no use in a spiritual fight. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." If we're not vitally in touch with God, what are we fighting with? What is our weaponry? Our own resources? God help us. The enemy is very concerned to keep us involved in any other thing as long as he can keep us from prayer. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint on their knees. As we talk about prayer of Christian warfare, I want us to consider these three simple things: the priority of prayer, the power of prayer, and the perseverance of prayer. Let's look at the priority of prayer. In verse 18, there is one very important little word that we should observe. It's obviously very important because it appears several times in that one verse. And you don't have to be Albert Einstein to work out that the Apostle Paul is trying to make a point. The word that I am referring to is the word all. And it is associated with the word always. The King James Version says it like this: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So here we see the priority of prayer. We are to always give ourselves to prayer in all its forms, with all our energy and diligence, in all situations, and for all people. Prayer must undergird everything in our lives. Now, let me ask you a question. Does prayer undergird everything you do? Is communion with God that kind of a first priority in your life? Church, the battle is always raging. The enemy is desperate, for he knows his time is short. He's not going to call any timeouts for rest and recreation. The battle is on in earnest. And if that's the case, then our armor must always be in place, and we must remain alert, watching and praying. Listen to the words of 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I'm urging you this morning, by the compulsion of the Holy Spirit, that we get our spiritual eyes open to see what's happening in the heavenlies, and to get serious about this battle that we are in. It is not a day of complacency. It's a day for the church to be on her knees, for our church to be seeking God and holding on to God in fervent prayer until God rends the heavens and comes down among us. And do you know that God longs to do that? We cry out, where is God? Why don't we see the hand of God working among us? Where is the God of Elijah? And God will answer us and say, here I am, but where are the Elijahs? Where are the people who will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and repent of worldliness, their laziness, their sins, and hold on to me until I rain blessings down upon them? Do you hear him? Why do we settle for mundane religion without any fire, without any throb? Why do we settle for it when the only life we seem to have is our own enthusiasm? The only resources we have are our own talents and abilities. When all the time the Spirit of God is here at the altar calling, come unto me. Let me fill you. Let me empower you. Let me work the revolution in your heart. Church, we need to pray. We need to press into God, getting hold of him for ourselves, doing business with God for the Lord's sake, for our sake, for the church's sake, for our family's sake, for the community's sake. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful till this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Note the words prayer and supplication. This word prayer comes from a more general word for praying. It speaks of the necessity of always being in the attitude of prayer, of having a consistent prayer life, and how essential that is. But then the word supplication comes, and it's from a Greek term which relates to special times of need. If Christians truly practice prayer as a way of life, then when the special times of need comes along, they will be prepared for them to make supplications and urgent requests before God and see God move into the situation. Oh, the priority of prayer, calling out on God in battle. It's time, folks. It's time. If not now, then when? Psalms 102 says, but you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. Your name endures to all generations. You will rise up and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to favor it. The appointed time has come, for your servants hold its stone dear and have pity on its dust. The nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord will build up Zion. He will appear in his glory. The time is always. Come with God. It's been all the day of grace. It's been the day of grace, the time for revival. For the past 2,000 years since Jesus ascended into heaven and filled his church with the Holy Spirit, he only awaits a people who are willing to cry out to him in prayer and supplication, and render their whole lives before him. Here then is the priority of prayer. The second thing, the power of prayer. We see where the power of prayer lies in the phrase, in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It's speaking of the Holy Spirit, powerful. powerful praying is praying in the Holy Spirit. If your prayer life has become dry, lifeless, boring, then you need to learn how to pray in the Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit into your prayer time. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, immediately, four things come to mind. The Holy Spirit's fellowship is the environment of the Christian walk. We talk of walking in the Spirit, which is a scriptural term that you will find in Galatians 5. Walking in fellowship with Him, our lives filled with His guidance and power. If He is in our lives, He will enable us to watch and pray. And there will be a growing desire for prayer and a growing perseverance in prayer. We are being led by the Holy Spirit into the place of prayer, praying in the Spirit. If we develop, number two, if we develop a sensitivity, the Holy Spirit will lead us while we are praying. The Holy Spirit will put a burden on you for someone, some situation, and you will pray it through. That's praying in the Spirit. Number three, the Holy Spirit gives a whole new language for prayer. When a believer is filled with the Holy Spirit, they can also pray in another tongue. The Bible says that when we pray in tongues by the Holy Spirit, we speak mysteries to God and we edify ourselves. So this is another means of praying in the Spirit. This is the most obvious. And the fourth one is, when language is exhausted and will not do any longer, He intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So praying in the Spirit involves a whole range of things. But the important thing I want to stress is that we must have the person of the Holy Spirit actively involved in our prayer life, leading us, energizing us. So again, if your prayer life lacks luster, if your prayer life is dry, ask God to fill you with the Spirit anew and invite the Holy Spirit to come and fellowship with you and have His way in your life. The third and final point that I have for you, the perseverance of prayer. So as we journey back to our text again and note what it says, to that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. How many know that in this Christian warfare, praying through requires perseverance? The Bible is filled with counts of people who persevered, holding on to God, sometimes when God was all that they had left to hold on to, and God answered them in supernatural ways. Just let me give you a few. If we look at Jacob, in Genesis 32, Jacob was holding on and wrestling with the angel of the Lord, and he said, I will not let go until you bless me. That's persevering. What about Elisha? Elisha was raising the Shunammite woman's son from the dead. Elijah sends his staff off ahead of him with his servant, and he lay it on the boy's body. Nothing happens. So when he comes to the boy himself and stretches himself upon him, his body warms, but that's all. He's still unconscious. Elisha paces back and forth. he perseveres. One more, he stretches himself out on the boy's body. This time, the boy sneezes seven times and then opens his eyes. That's persevering. What about Job? In the midst of tragedy and overwhelming grief, he declares, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know that my Redeemer lives and he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. That's persevering. What about blind Bartimaeus crying out to Jesus in the streets of Jericho in Mark 10? The crowd tells him to be quiet. For a while, even Jesus doesn't seem to hear him or pay him any mind, but he keeps on crying out, persevering until finally Jesus restores his sight. What about your story? What are you going through? What have you prayed for to ask God to do? Maybe you only prayed one time, and God needs you to persevere and push through and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying, believing. Jesus says, when telling this particular story, that men ought to always pray and not faint, not to give up, not to be dissuaded. You've got to persevere. You've got to keep praying no matter what the circumstances look like. Keep praying when all hope is gone. Keep praying late in the midnight hour. God will turn your situation around. You just got to keep on praying. For weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Just don't give up. God will turn the situation around, not in our time, but in God's time. Oh, how we need some people who will persevere in prayer, who will make prayer the great priority that it deserves to be, and to pray with power, energized by the Holy Spirit. We need to continue pressing into God, taking hold of God. I need it. You need it. As a church, we need to do it. A fresh touch of God in our midst. And I will end with this. Prayer is our weapon. Will you use it? Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, thank you for letting us know as a church that it is praying time. God, we see the signs of the times as we look on social media, as we hear in the news, all of these things that are happening. Some of these things that were already predicted in the Bible. And you let us know that when we see these signs, that you are soon to come. So God, we hear your word on this morning, and we take it to heart that we will become a church, a praying church, a church who will persevere, a church who will ask for your power to do what you have called us to do. God, touch each and every member, those who are under the sound of my voice, whatever situation that they are going through, God, you've let them know that they have the key, they have the weapon. All they have to do is use it. Pray without ceasing. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say, amen.